Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, November 12, 2008. Feel me! November 12, 2008, in the history of humanity. And speaking of history, we are still in the afterglow, beautiful humans, of the Gospel Revolution Convention 2008 in Houston, Texas, which just finished literally a little over 72 hours ago. I'm coming to you live from an undisclosed location in northern Wisconsin, but still down in the launching point in beautiful Houston, Texas, is the president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Mr. Michael Williams. Michael!
Glenn, good evening. Yes, we did make it through, and my goodness, my worst fears were never realized, and my greatest hopes were far surpassed, for sure, in the convention here in Houston, and definitely even still being here in the Fair City, it's like the city itself is still reeling from the impact of this incredible historic event. We've got so many historic events going on. I mean, it feels like that this also was just a very historical event with a lot of, you can't even just say a lot of it. It was almost like from beginning to end, there was something very, very special and almost historical about everything that was taking place during our time together here. What do you think about it?
Well, I was wondering what your worst fears were.
My worst fears were that no one would come, that I would have nothing to say, that we would wind up $20,000 in debt, and so none of my fears came true.
All right, I noticed that one of your fears, Michael, one of your fears were not that I would have nothing to say.
Oh no, we had no fear whatsoever that that the Glenn Klein online. Your last name is not Klein. Your last name is online. You do know that now.
Yes, that was revealed amongst a myriad of other things this past week in Houston, beautiful humans. In case you were wondering, logged on to Glenn Klein online. Welcome in. In the afterglow party of the Gospel Revolution Convention, and it just so happens to correspond with the 2008 Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. And, you know, it's kind of like going from the frying pan into the fire or vice versa. I'm not sure which one it is.
No, very, very true. But, and again, this was not, we did not plan to be up and running and having a convention the day after one of the most historical elections, regardless of who you voted for in this past election. We honestly did have one of the most historical elections in my lifetime, certainly in the top two for sure. And even President Bush acknowledged that even though the man he voted for didn't win, he acknowledged the historic, almost epic historic event of this particular election. So we had no idea that we were going to be on there the next day and that Carlton Pearson was going to be there reflecting on those things and the events of history taking place, and then us making history, and here we are now, right after the convention. Here we are, with the fall pledge drive. It's like, oh yes, my goodness, we got to get this done, or it's not going to be fall anymore.
Well, not only that, but it's timely, and as one of your fears was that we wouldn't be able to pay all the bills, or that we would be $20,000 in debt. We're happy to report that that is not the case. But the fact of the matter is that there was a bit of a shortfall during the convention. And regardless of that or not, we have a goal of $17,500 over the next 21 days, just as we did this past summer. And even if we didn't have extra bills to pay from the convention, we still have the ongoing expenses of the Gospel Revolution. And this is something that we've been doing now for the better part of a year and a half, when we come to you quarterly and ask you to participate in the ongoing effort. We've got some really good, vicious emails tonight, Michael, coming on the heels of the convention. I was so excited to see some really good, fired up people criticizing us, and we're going to be getting to those. Right now, we invite you to give us a call and participate in the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive on the toll-free number at 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean, I am having some computer problems right now, which I'm trying to rectify. So as people call, just feel free to interrupt. Let us know who it is, and I will let you know when I am back up and running on the computer. But as soon as we get our first caller, please just feel free to interrupt, and don't worry about sending the email if you've already done so. Just let us know who's on the line, okay? Okay. 1-800-436-3260. And as soon as I get my computer up and running again, Michael, we'll be getting to some of those emails. But I was so excited to get these emails that were critical, and they're easily answerable, and I'm going to want to do that. But it's really an interesting place to be when you're excited to see people criticizing you, because A, that means that they're out there listening and thinking about it, and B, we have the answers for them. And as we found out consistently throughout the convention, it all comes back to the same thing. It comes back to the gospel. It comes back to freedom. It comes back to knowing who you are in Christ. And it's so beautifully consistent, so beautifully logical. And Mike Farmer, the founder of GospelLogic.com, our sister website, was there with his lovely wife, Danette, And there's nothing that anybody could email us to put a damper on the sense of afterglow that we have from the convention.
No, for sure. You know, and your computer may be down, but mine isn't. And I have one of those emails actually right here in front of me. And just showed it to a friend of mine. I mean, they were kind of thinking that, you know, that nobody had anything to say about me except good stuff, you know, especially after this the time that we had here in Houston and the response to the teaching and hearing people, you know, declare without being prompted on my part whatsoever, or anyone, of just life transformation and them becoming actually believers as a result of their true free will, rather than being threatened by hell. They've become great and deep believers, even as I became a much more emphatic and persuaded believer after I removed any threat for not believing out of my belief system. But we've got one here. If we'd like to, you want to go ahead and let me read this one, and
Go ahead. I actually have it here, but I would like to hear you read it. It's most vicious. I think the second one includes me in it, but I think the first one is pretty much directed towards you. So I would love to hear you read it.
Yes, this one is from Deanna Young, and Deanna writes, "You need a lot of prayer, Mr. Williams. You say that you teach the Bible in context, but you don't. You take bits and pieces and use them to your liking. you will have to thank God himself for lying to people and causing them to stray from what could have been a productive and rewarding walk with Christ. Maybe you should get on your knees and ask God to open your eyes and your heart to his truth in his word instead of staying blinded to your made-up truth and using your words. I pray that God will help you see the destructiveness of your work and your possible unawareness to helping the enemy keep more precious people from going to heaven. And that was submitted to us from Deanna Young.
Yeah, now, that's what just came in today, beautiful humans. And if I didn't know better, Michael, it would be like somebody writing that who is part of the gospel revolution. Because that email is so in your wheelhouse. I mean, you know what a wheelhouse is? It's that place where a baseball player is just ready to smack a home run. You know, it's just right in their wheelhouse where all you got to do is turn on it. And I would like you to address Ms. Young point by point, because she has it exactly backwards. The woman, and obviously we have no idea who this person is. I don't. Do you?
No, I seem to remember the name. It may come from church's past or something, but for some reason the name sounds familiar. I wish I did know who it was actually, but just other than the name, I don't.
Michael?
Yes.
That's wonderful. We're going to get to George momentarily. Michael, let me, before we get to George and address Deanna Young, and we'll want to have George be part of that. Are you on your cell phone?
Am I on my cell phone?
Or are you at your office?
No, I'm on my landline, yeah.
Okay, all right, because I'm just having a little bit of static on my end. We have some horrendous weather at the undisclosed location in northern Wisconsin. The fog is so bad that if I had to fly in now versus when I flew in from Houston on Sunday, to fly in and out of northern Wisconsin right now tonight would not be a possibility. That is how thick the fog is, and it is so cold. It is chilling to the bone. And I went from the most perfect climate in Houston, Texas on Sunday afternoon, about 70 degrees. We were all standing outside and kibitzing in front of the Marriott, and just the sun was hitting us, and we were waiting for the shuttle to take us to the airport. And then just within hours, I found myself in the middle of winter, and I felt like I was in a Twilight Zone episode. And in a very real way, Michael, I feel like I'm in a Twilight Zone episode when I read or hear this email from Deanna Young versus what we experienced from the beautiful humans that were gathered from around the world in Houston. Lee Lau from Hong Kong, Tim and Arlene from Kauai, people from all over Canada, all over the United States, and one guy that was not there that we better get his butt to the second annual International Gospel Revolution Convention next year is online, our nationwide correspondent from boldgrace.com, Mr. George Howell. George!
Guys, what's up?
How are you doing tonight? Where are you?
Hey, George.
I am in... hi, Mike. How you doing? I am in central Pennsylvania, northern central Pennsylvania, in an undisclosed location.
All right, buddy. Well, we missed you in...
We did miss you, George.
We missed you.
Houston, but
you have no idea, guys.
You heard
the
criticism of Michael, and we're going to get your take on it, but I want to hear Michael's direct take point by point. Just go through the points that Deanna Young made here. We are approaching and addressing a very serious criticism of Mike personally and the gospelrevolution.com effort in general on our pledge drive, ladies and gentlemen. So, Michael, have at it, please.
Well, you know, the thing that is difficult about it, number one, let me address Deanna Young as a beautiful human and as a righteous and holy and perfect woman before the eyes of God, regardless of the teaching that she may be under now that obviously would cause her to doubt that. This is the thing that's difficult for me about, you know, you say it's my wheelhouse, but actually it is difficult for me to respond to this, Glenn, because there's absolutely nothing about the scriptures or even the Bible in this. It's just a harsh criticism. And I would say probably from not a very harsh human being. That's the thing about religion is that it takes people who are much kinder than their doctrine. So first off, let me say that I by no means take this letter to describe the type of human being that Deanna Young probably is. I would say that she's probably a very loving person apart from her religious views. Obviously, her religious views make her not a very pleasant person to deal with. But she also doesn't give me anything to deal with in this except a personal attack. Because first off, let me get the first line. You need a lot of prayer, Mr. Williams. Yes, thank you, and I would appreciate it. All prayers of thanksgiving are welcome. And, it says you teach the Bible in context, but you don't. You know, for me to respond to that.
Stop on that one. If there's anything that anybody knows about the way that you teach is that you do not pick out verses. In fact, one of the teachings that Michael gave at the convention in Houston was called Verse Damned No More. Because you will take not just many verses in context, you'll take entitled chapters, Michael. You'll take entitled books
of the New Testament
commentaries, especially in context, and do nothing but read them and comment about them in context.
But for me to really respond to this, she would have to point out to me where I taught out of context. It simply boils down to an accusation. It says you take bits and pieces and use them to your liking. For me to really respond to that, she'd have to show me where I did that. But, of course, she doesn't because she can't. And it cannot be done because I don't do that.
That's a point well taken, and I don't really want to spend a heck of a lot more time on this, but... we want to welcome George into the conversation. Now, at the end of that letter, George, Deanna says that if Mike gets down on his knees and repents, that maybe his repentance would lead a few more people to heaven. What would you address? How would you address that challenge or that question that she brings up? What is there anything that Mike Williams could do, or anybody could do, to get more people into heaven, George Howell?
No, I doubt that. If they could, then if Michael could, then I would be worshiping him. but, you know, the thing is, people always want you to do something or do this or do that. And, you know, we have a favorite thing on Bold Grace, and it's just those three little words, it is finished. And, you know, I haven't repented of anything for probably over 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I know that, you know, you have some...
What do you mean by that, George, that you have not repented in 3 years? What do you mean by that?
Well, in the traditional sense, as far as what people think of repenting. Now, have I changed my mind about things? Absolutely.
That the word repentance actually means something. Of course, in Christian circles, it means to seek forgiveness for your sin and to try your best to stop doing what you were doing. As we used to say in the church, quit it and admit it, or admit it rather and quit it. And that's not what repentance means at all. We talked about this a lot, Michael, at the convention, that repentance simply means to change your mind. Well, George, you don't mean that you haven't changed your mind in 3 years. It means you haven't asked for forgiveness for sin in 3 years.
Exactly. I haven't asked for forgiveness for sin. Have I changed my mind? Absolutely. I've changed my mind every day, probably two or three times a day, you know, on different subjects. But as far as asking God to forgive me for something, you know, it's like, to me, it's like begging when you've already got everything.
Yeah.
Why would I ask for forgiveness when I already have it? To me, it's an insult to the cross.
Michael, I think that George might have been in Houston, because I think that you said that exact thing at the convention, that it went from being a situation where you were seeking God's forgiveness, that it became an absolute insult to the blood of Christ.
Right.
Yes, absolutely. And that is the thing, you know, and you know, Deanna Young's letter to me is an encouragement, actually. It's an encouragement to keep going. It's an encouragement to know that my heart knows that the bondage is so deep. Now, how deep is it that you could write a letter to a man who is lying to people is causing them to stray from what could be a productive walk in Christ, and that what I am doing is causing people that is so bad that it is destructive, a destructive work, and possibly helping the enemy keep more precious human beings from going to heaven, and ends with God bless. Now if I believed what Deanna believes, I would end with "God damn," to quote a famous preacher.
Right. That we would call you Jeremiah Wright, William.
I would not be saying "God bless you." God bless you for misleading people. Why would anyone imply or speak a blessing? I mean, here at the end of it, see, I think Deanna's true heart comes out. She speaks a blessing to me. But the fact of it is, it is so contradictory to her letter. Now, if somebody told me that somebody was taking one single individual, even possibly taking one single person to hell, I'm telling you, I would not say, "God bless." There is no way that I would say God bless to that person. Now, the thing of it is, I can say God bless to everyone.
Would you say God bless?
Excuse me?
If they sneeze, would you say God bless you?
Yes, a sneeze would be quite all right. But
we're gonna ask for forbearance from everybody, because this is the pledge drive. But George, please be patient with us. We want to remind everybody that this is the Gospel Revolution Paul Pledge Drive, and we're taking your contributions that are tax deductible in the United States. We haven't even talked about the thank you gift yet. At 1-800-436-3260. All of our lines are busy right now with the three lines we have. So just be patient if you get a busy signal, or email us. All you got to do is go to gospelrevolution.com, click on donations, and make a one-time gift, or I believe George is going to do, or has done, make a monthly donation. And those are really key, because that's the lifeblood of this effort.
Yeah.
You just click on donations, you make a one-time or a monthly gift, and for gifts of $100 totaling $100 or more, you will receive free and postage paid the brand-new CD, Freed from Your Own Faith, that was recorded at the convention. And you are going to be very excited to hear this, George. Freed from Your Own Faith. We're going to be talking about the entire convention package during the course of the webcast. We're going to be on until at least 10:30 on the East Coast of the United States of America. So there will be plenty of time to get in. But join us, and then just email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you did. That's webcast@gospelrevolution.com. And you will not be surprised, Michael, to see that we received a 100-hour gift from our Southern California correspondent, Richard Mull. What a
that
great
man don't
time
know
we
how
had
to stop
him in Houston. What a character he is.
He
taught, he kibitzed, he received his Jewishness in Christ, if you will. And but he's kicking it off tonight with C-Note, and Richard, of course, will be receiving the thank you gift, freed from your own faith. And George, you wanted to make a contribution as well, correct?
Hey, wait a minute now. I think I kicked it off earlier this, around 4 o'clock this afternoon, 4:30 this afternoon when I put mine online for a monthly
contribution. You got to jump on it. You sure did.
I think I was first then.
All right, you were first.
Well, I'll be first
before online and first after online.
What's that?
What did you say? What did you say, Michael?
We'll have a first that came before we went online, and a first after we went online.
Oh, you are politically correct, Michael Williams.
This woman again. You know, to me, in all seriousness, people like this are, for lack of a better term, they're worse, in my opinion, than unbelievers. They're in a worse place than a person that doesn't believe at all.
Yeah, it makes your heart go out, too.
It amazes me how they give Adam more power than Christ has.
Yeah.
And, you know...
How was that, George? How did they give Adam...
People of the Gospel Revolution and Bold Grace and you know, different places that we disgrace Christ, when actually they honor Adam.
Yes, they do.
And...
How do they do that, George?
Really, you know, bass aqua.
Hey, George... George, how do they do that? How do they honor Adam more than Jesus Christ?
Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
George, he's asking, George? How do they honor Adam more than they do Jesus Christ?
I'm sorry, what did you say, Mike?
He's asking, how do they honor Adam more than they do Jesus Christ?
Oh, okay. Well, the way they honor Adam more than they do Christ is, they say that the sacrifice of Christ is not more powerful than the sin of Adam. Because we all know, as in one took all into, you know, it wasn't we were guilty of sinning, it's that we were in the condition of sin. It wasn't the act of sin, it was the condition. And if one took us into the condition of sin, and the other cannot take us into the condition of righteousness without our participation,
yeah,
then the one that takes us without our participation is greater.
Yes, it's not only glorification of the first Adam, but it's also the glorification of Moses over Jesus also.
Right.
Because and what was proven was, according to what Jesus had to say, he said, I will never condemn you. He said, there's one that condemns you, even Moses, in whom you put your trust. And it sounds to me like Deanna is one of those also who has put her trust in Moses instead of Jesus. Because if there's any condemnation, which that's, you know, I except for God bless at the end of it, I certainly didn't get anything from this letter but condemnation for sure. And but according to what Jesus said, let me say this very clearly, according to what Jesus said, everything that Deanna said to me came from Moses, not from Jesus.
Right. And you know, it really is like the passage says, that when Moses is preached, a veil is let down.
Yes.
Christ cannot even be seen because the veil has been put down again.
Yeah, the law is definitely a blinding force in people's lives, and that's the reason that Jesus... The work of the cross was designed to take away the law. We went into this in great detail at the convention this past week.
Oh my God! I wish I'd have been there. Oh.
It you know, we went into great detail about the fact that, and you will be there next year. I mean, you have.
Well, you guys need to have it in Pittsburgh.
Well, we went into a lot of detail in that whole arena of helping people to understand that very thing, that, you know, we are not participants in this incredible redemption that we have received, and that our lack of participation is our redemption. And it really is amazing how that the teachings that Jesus did were designed to bring the law to its full and show us that none of us had any hope. And, you know, the whole religious world, Deanna included, and let me say, Deanna and the Taliban. Now, I hate to put it in such stark terms, but let me tell you something.
Hello?
Deanna and
Hello?
The Taliban agree that we should live by the teachings of
Hello?
Jesus.
All right, so, Michael, George,
Hello?
Can you hear us? Okay,
I think
Sean,
George
we're
going to
let George
us.
Go and open up that line.
Is that George Lewis? He can't hear us.
Yeah, Hello? Sorry. Let him go, Sean. Let him go. Bye, George. Thanks for calling. Thanks for contributing. That's
yeah.
George
go
Powell,
back and listen to the archives and find out how much we love you.
1-800-436-3260. That line is now available because George went bye-bye in Pittsburgh or in central Pennsylvania. That's George Howell of BoldGrace.com. But between George's contribution on a monthly basis and Richard Mull kicking it off, what I said before was that you were so politically correct, Michael. You gave two first places. That was sweet.
They added less than
$220 as we head over the next 21 days to 17.5. We got to start somewhere, and we have started out wonderfully tonight. And now we have that line open for you at 1-800-436-3260 for gifts of $100 or more, whether it be in a one-time gift or in a total monthly donation over the course of 12 months of $100 or more. You will receive free and postage paid the brand new thank you CD, freed from your own sin, from your own faith. Yeah, you're freed from your own sin too. Freed from your own faith is called, that was recorded at the Gospel Revolution Convention. Sean, I am, I've got my computer up, and so you can email me now anything that you need to. Do we have anybody online right now?
We do, we have Abraham.
Beautiful. So these are all the fellas. They were all jonesing. They were some serious jonesing of the Gospel because they weren't in Houston, but now please do welcome our Stockton, California correspondent for the Gospel Revolution, who we also missed in Houston, Mr. Abraham Mackey. Abe!
Hey, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Abraham.
Yeah, we can hear you just fine. Can you hear us?
Oh, yes. We've been enjoying the wonderful conversation tonight. And we really appreciate our Gospel Revolution business cards, which I handed one out today, by the way.
Awesome.
Sweet.
As your West Coast or Stockton, California correspondent, and the great t-shirt. I'm sorry we couldn't be with you in Houston. We're really there with you in heart, and I know we're getting ready for the next one, right?
Next year is the 11th of November.
Michael and I already booked November 11th, 2009, and I made the announcement at the convention that the second annual Gospel Revolution Convention will be November 11th, 2009, and I said, I wish I had a dollar for every time I will be saying that over the next year. So,
hey, and guess what,
Abraham? November 11th, 2009.
Guess what, Abraham? We already have people signed up for next year.
All right. Sounds great to me. You know, one of the things, you know, I listened to the email from the lady. And, you know, when you read things in context, you can always go along and find some verse that seems like, well, where do you put that?
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't always tie up in the most perfect, neat little bow, but I have loved the way that you have been able to teach showing how, let's speak primarily of Paul, how he's not just writing, oh, I'll write about this idea, and I'll throw this idea out there, but
right.
he's actually writing a treatise, like in Galatians, law and grace.
Yes.
And, I mean, this has transformed my own thinking. Do I ever find a verse that I find out and wonder, well, where do I put that? Yeah, yeah. That happens sometimes. But
that's
that
called
happens
out of context
verses. While I was in church all the time.
Those are called out of context verses, Abraham.
Well, you know, that's me. I'm out of context.
The verses.
Well, actually, I was told I was not congruent.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, not congruent.
Yep.
That's I've okay.
Heard the term.
Well, listen, Abraham, were you wanted to make a pledge tonight for the fall pledge drive?
Well, we have a current pledge going, and I have to say I didn't discuss financial things with my 28-year wonderful bookkeeper that I married to for 28 years, but we will talk about that and see what else we can do, okay?
Well, anything extra, even if folks, if you think $5 or $10 isn't helpful, Michael, please dissuade them. Anybody that would think that their $5 or $10 isn't helpful.
No, that's for sure. And Abraham, that's the number one thing we want to do is thank you that and encourage you that what you are doing already is so very helpful, and we appreciate it with from the bottom of our hearts. And you know, it's really amazing,
thank
though.
You.
I mean, it's like you have to appreciate yourself because you know what you're supporting. You're supporting what you believe in. You know, we're not asking you to support what we believe in. And in fact, we're not even asking you to support what we believe in. We're asking people to support what God believes about the human race. And you know, that's pretty easy to take up an offering for that. You know,
what does God believe about the human race? Not what we believe about God, but what God believes about us.
Well, let me include Deanna Young in this, and myself.
You got by the way, you're going to have to include the next one. You might as well include this, Jerry Epps. We have the next email you're going to love. So include Jerry Epps.
And we already, without even knowing what Jerry Epps has had to say, that he is in the eyes of God. This is God's opinion, and I agree with God that these folks, and including myself, even though that they cannot agree with me, for God's sake, don't disagree with God. And this, we're not telling you about our opinion about God. We're simply reading what the scriptures say is God's opinion of you guys. Deanna and Mr. Epps, this is God's opinion of you without your works. Why do you want to add your works to this whole thing? I know we got one letter of criticism about simply taking up, allowing people to, and encouraging people to give financial support, and somehow that.
Yeah, but we'll read that specifically because this is just showing somebody's ignorance, and it's a great email. But remind us what God's view and opinion of these folks, people like George W. Bush, Abraham Mackey, Glenn Klein, Michael Williams, Barack Obama, Sarah Palin, Deanna Young. What is God's view and opinion of us, Michael?
Well, according to the scriptures, and I do speak that in its clearest and most strictest terms, that his view and opinion is that they are righteous. We are holy. We are perfect. We are made without fault and without blemish. You were also born into this world without a condition of sin. You were born, because I know you're not more than 2,000 years old, I know that you were born onto this planet as absolutely perfect and righteous and holy. And had you been taught that from birth, had I been taught that from birth, do you think I would not still be a believer in Jesus? I wouldn't even have the struggles that I have now with trying to embrace concepts and thoughts and to truly accept God, you an opinion of me, even though I believe that I do, after living with the concept that I was born in sin for so long. I mean, I don't know how much stuff I still have yet to deal with, but our goal is that a generation be trained and taught from birth. Who in the world do you think is going to become an unbeliever in Jesus if they're taught from birth they've been righteous from birth by the power of Jesus? That's going to create an unbeliever? I'm sorry, folks, but these letters from these folks encourages me to go on, because and to do it as more profusely and emphatically than I've ever done it before. Because, you know, give me a break. I know how many people were taught that if you don't believe, you're going to go straight to hell, and those people have gone straight away from believing anything about God, and even not believing in God. Christianity has produced more unbelievers than it has produced believers. And even the believers it has produced, they're fakes. Because
the people that say they believe in Christianity don't, because they could not exist on the planet in any rational way. You tried to do that in Clearwater Beach, Florida, for, what, a year of your life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and
just about burned the bottoms of the soles of your feet, walking up and down. In fact, I think you said, I don't know if you said on the webcast or the convention, you would show people your feet as to the price you were willing to pay. But these people that are going on vacations and are going to the movies and watching television, going out for dinner, how in the world can they believe that the vast majority of people that they're sitting in a movie theater with, or at a ball game with, or in a restaurant with, are going to hell and not stand up and say something?
Yeah, we have it. See, the reason I was showing them the blisters on my feet is I was trying to give them this, just a tiny comparison between that and what hell would be like. I mean, this was just blisters on my feet, and I was willing to pay that price to keep them from burning forever. And folks, I've believed this stuff, but you've got to understand how destructive. People can stand up, and I'm telling you, with no intellectual integrity, absolutely, you know, Mr. Epps and Deanna Young, with no intellectual or spiritual integrity at all, can you tell me that someone has become an unbeliever because they have believed, because they were taught from birth, that Jesus Christ has made them perfectly righteous and holy in the eyes of God? The statistics are not in your favor. The church has produced millions of unbelievers because of the threat of hell and because of the doctrines. And suddenly, you know, while none of the Christians agree with each other, I bet Deanna and Mr. Epps disagree with each other completely. It's amazing how they can only come together to speak against the work of the cross. It's amazing that that's the only thing that they can come together about, is we mutually agree that everybody, that 80% of the world is going to hell. They can't agree about anything on the face of earth except that point, and that the requirement is upon the human race instead of upon Jesus. We believe that all the requirement that was upon man was taken by the cross. Now, Mr. Epps and Deanna both would say, oh, yes, but they would say, oh, yes, but. And that's when they would interject their own righteousness into the mix. And the only thing we're doing, folks...
Abraham?
Yes.
Are you still with us?
I can hear you. And I'd like to add one thing to what
I want to read this letter from Jerry Epps that Michael's referring to. Again, doing this on the fall pledge drive of the Gospel Revolution. He says, Jerry lives in Nashville, by the way. And he says, "Dear Mike, I've been listening to you since 1995. From an objective view, the Gospel Revolution, with its recent conference and overshadowing constant fundraising, is beginning to look very much like religion. If you and Glenn Klein are serious about getting this message out, I only have this question for you. Where are your YouTube clips, which are free, and where is your MySpace, which is free? You say what you want to reach millions? Go ahead, it's free. Otherwise, your stated intention to reach the world becomes a farce. I am listening less and less these days. Sincerely, Jerry Epps." Well, first of all, Jerry, we know you're listening less and less because you don't realize that we do have YouTube videos up for free. You don't realize that we're doing this worldwide webcast for free every single week. You don't realize that we have a website that you could literally spend months, well, maybe months, but weeks reading and listening to things for free between thegospelrevolution.com and gospellogic.com. Michael, this is written simply and specifically from a position of ignorance. Not only are we doing all these things for free, but we're asking people to do nothing more than to follow their own heart. We are giving people the stated freedom that we have in Christ to do whatever they want to do, but if we're going to offer that same freedom to everybody, we would be hypocrites if we didn't take that same freedom. And believe me, Jerry Epps, that we have absolutely no compulsion in our hearts at all not to ask people to help us with the financial needs of this effort, because this webcast costs money. It costs money to duplicate the CDs. It costs money to have these three phone lines that Michael Williams of the Gospel Revolution, Abraham Mackey, our Stockton, California correspondent of the Gospel Revolution, and yours truly, at an undisclosed location in northern Wisconsin, are on right now. Anything else you would like to add to that, Michael?
Yeah, you know, the thing of it is that calling the appeal or inviting people or asking people for funds is somehow religious. See, that's where that you got to get your terminology down as to what those things actually mean. There's nothing religious about how much money is or is not involved. It's the issue is what is being preached, what is being taught. Now, you can disagree with us all day long about methods of raising funds or not raising funds. Believe me, I've tried it. I've tried starving to death. I've tried everything. And and as far as trying to get the gospel out, and come up with a better way, and quite honestly, Jerry, you did not come up with any better way. We're already doing these things and doing them to the extreme that we can. But the religion that we are trying to fight is that which, you know, if someone with any intellectual integrity can say that what we are saying simply because we raise funds is no different than any other brand of Christianity, there is no intellectual integrity in that statement. There's no spiritual integrity in that statement.
This has got nothing to do with Christianity except being a direct answer to what we call, which we have stolen from Carlton Pearson, who we thoroughly enjoyed at the convention early on Wednesday night and Thursday morning, the cult of Christianity.
Yeah, no,
this has got nothing to do with Christianity, other than being a direct answer to the thousands of years of producing unbelievers and causing people to slaughter each other in the name of Christ, for God's sakes.
Yeah. And as far as the funds are concerned, my goodness, you know, we have shamed no one, as Paul did, in about their giving or their not giving. I mean, we speak so little about giving. We do it right now, and we, without shame, do it once a quarter for an hour and a half once a week for 3 weeks. That's exactly how much time we put in to raising funds.
And of course, all the hour and a half is spent mostly in what we do all the time, which is focusing on the righteousness of Christ and our righteousness in Him. I mean, it's just we're taking extra time. We basically figure, an extra half an hour. That's why we go to the 90 minutes to ask for direct help. We tried it the other way, Jerry. We were going broke, and we weren't able to produce the quality of recordings and the quality of message that we believe this message deserves, frankly.
Yeah, and and the thing of it is that the course of a vast majority of the teaching that we rely on is that from Paul. And the fact of it is that Paul was the one who taught on giving the most. But he never taught on tithing. He never taught on required giving. But he did speak to the people that it was to their shame that they were not supporting the gospel.
Right.
And that they were allowing that the people that were not giving. Now this is Paul. This is what Paul said about it. That it was to their shame that they were allowing others to have to take up their slack, and for the giving, so that he could continue doing what he was doing. And we've never done that. We've never done even what Paul did. What is written in the New Testament that he said in full chapters in the book of Corinthians about giving. And I mean, there's way more about it in the Bible than we ever make reference to or ever allude to, because that's not our message. The message is about the redemption of the world. It's the gospel of peace and the gospel of grace. There is no gospel of giving.
May I add something here?
You may
add. Yeah, I was going to ask Abraham, what are your thoughts?
Well, for one thing, week in and week out, year in and year out, at church, we were told that if you didn't tithe, you were putting yourself in line to receive a curse from God.
Yep.
And when you didn't tithe, you certainly weren't obeying God. And if you wanted the windows of heaven to open, you better get in and pay your tithe. And that was done shamelessly month in and month out and year in and year out. And tithing is not even a New Testament matter, just like you've pointed out.
Yeah.
So telling people what your need is, the way you guys do it, I think it's fine. Gosh, I mean, like you said, you do so little of it.
Here's the other thing, guys, is that he has a direct criticism that we don't have YouTube up, that we don't have MySpace. We don't have MySpace. We have GospelRevolution.com and GospelLogic.com. He says that we are constantly asking for money, but he also mentions that he's not listening so much anymore. And Jerry, it's very evident that what you say is true, because you are not listening and you are not paying attention, and that's fine. But we've taken almost an hour up in discussing some pretty strong criticism of the effort, and we're happy to do it. But we've got other good emails and good questions. And Abraham, do you have anything else that you'd like to share with the beautiful humans the Wednesday after the convention?
One last little thing, and that is, it is so completely refreshing as I talk with people and I start to share bits and pieces of things that I've learned from my teaching and going and following up in them with my own study. And when you find people, and I'm finding here and there people that are so happy to hear this message. Every once in a while, you'll find someone that immediately wants to defend how they've seen it for 20 years, and that's okay. I understand it. But just keep on pouring the message out. And I'm loving it. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Abraham, and mark that on your calendar.
Thank you, Abraham.
November 11th, 2009.
I'll put it on the schedule.
Bye. All right, buddy. Thanks for calling. Stay in touch. And, hey, boy, you are going to feast on the series. Looks like it's going to be 20 CDs from the convention. Believe it or not, 20 CD series from the Gospel Revolution Convention 2008.
Yes. You know, goodness, I just clicked on the email. Actually, the Jerry has a very nice website, actually. And the second thing on his website is songs for sale.
On his MySpace account?
Yeah.
He does
have MySpace.
That's funny.
And
that's just flat out funny.
And you can buy them. I mean, you know, we'll advertise for Jerry tonight, but it's going to cost you. I mean, he's got a free MySpace account, but you know, you might want to go buy. I'm sure some of his songs are very good, so you know, you might want to go on there. But it's got you have to fill out your email and your password and be signed up, and then go purchase your songs individually.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Hey, Abraham, we love you. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Yeah, Abraham's gone. We already said bye to Abraham.
This is Glenn Klein online. Michael Williams, the Gospel Revolution Convention just completed, and we are in the first few hours of the fall pledge drive for 2008, and our goal of $17,500. We've made a dent in with gifts from Richard Mull and from George Howell of $220 total. For $100 or more in one-time giving or monthly over the course of 12 months, you will receive pre- and postage paid from the Gospel Revolution Convention, Michael's new teaching on Freed from Your Own Faith. It is fantastic. You're going to love it. So go to the GospelRevolution.com webpage, click on donations, do your best in either a one-time gift or monthly donation, and then you will be receiving the free CDs, Freed from Your Own Faith. Well, we've got the third line open now, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. We've got a little over 30 minutes left in this edition of Glenn Klein Online, and we really haven't talked too much yet, Mike, about the convention specifically, but I did allude to the fact, or more than allude to the fact, that we got 20 CDs, and it wasn't just Carlton Pearson and Harold Lovelace and Greg Ambergy and you and me. I mean, we heard from Tim Pruitt, our webmaster. We heard from Mark Eaton. We heard from Chris Harrington. We heard from Richard Mull. I mean, we heard from Ken Vandeveer. It was absolutely a smorgasbord of people that love God and love each other and recognize that God loves us even more, coming together from every unique background and distinct socioeconomic group, everybody having the same thing in common. You talk about a spirit of unity and fun and revelation. It was amazing. It was truly a wonder.
Oh, it really was. Yeah, it was a fantastic time, and people there that were free to you know, make their own comments and free voice a disagreement even. I mean, it was an amazing time. Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and those CDs and the entire convention will be available relatively soon. Just stay logged on, and we're just going through them and making sure that everything that we think is on there is on there. It takes a little bit of time. So both the folks that were at the convention who ordered the CDs and you guys who are going to want to order the entire series, believe me, you are going to absolutely have a field day with the convention. I've been reliving it, listening to get the duplication process going. And it's really not to be missed and not to be believed. We got a greeting here, Michael, from Howard and Amanda in Dauphin, Manitoba.
Yeah.
He signs it your Gospel Revolution Dauphin, Manitoba, Canada correspondent.
Yeah.
Howard and
they
Amanda
sure
Rose,
are.
Who
and
were
what
at
wonderful
the convention,
people.
And they say, "Hey, you Jews, great to hear your voices again." And, of course, that was my the Jewishness of the gospel. Michael, you sat in the sessions that I taught about our identity as one family, as one nation, as being in the Jew, in Joshua, Josephson, Yeshua, Ben Yosef, Jesus Christ. Did anything strike you or did anything come across to you about that topic that people seem to be particularly interested in and really seem to enjoy understanding what their true heritage is?
Well, yes, of course, you'd have to understand Paul's teaching in that aspect. And, of course, the reason that Paul's teaching identifies us all as Jew is that to make sure that we understand that everyone has been freed from the law, because the only one that was under the law was the Jew. And and the reason for Paul's teaching of identifying everyone as a Jew was to make sure that we understood that we were freed from the law. Because I think that I think Paul's concern, if he did not teach and identify all to be a Jew in the sense of God's dealing with the human race, that if he did not help us to understand that one concept, was that somebody would find some wiggle room somewhere to say, well, you know, well, it might have been for the Jews, but you know, we can't include the Gentiles, which Paul did deal with. Paul had to deal with were the Gentiles even included, because it was obvious
right.
in the scriptures that the players on the stage was the Jewish people. And so I think that was the that's the thing that people got the most out of, and that's the thing that you do have to understand why Paul identified that. It wasn't to make sure that we all understood what we are Jews, but that they understand that we are all identified in that manner to make sure that we all know that we are all freed from the law. There are no exceptions.
Right.
Everyone has been freed from the law.
No doubt. And also the fact that we learned that Gentile literally just meant of the world, and we learned that the northern tribes of Israel, the 10 tribes known as Israel, the 10 tribes known as Ephraim, actually were spread to the four corners of the world. And we identified the very real fact that nobody knows what their actual blood heritage is. I mean, the fact that there is a group of people that identify themselves as Jewish people, who identify themselves with the people of the book, that identify themselves with Jerusalem as their capital, has absolutely nothing to do with the scriptures or the fulfillment of prophecy. We pointed out, Michael, that all things were fulfilled in the Jew, Jesus, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and that it was just another way of getting saved. It was another way of renewing the mind. It was another way of refreshing the soul. And that's the thing that we do constantly, week after week on this webcast, whenever Michael has a chance to teach. And by the way, he is available. Now that the convention is over, all you got to do is go to the website. And his phone number, his office number is on the website. You can just email us at freedom@gospelrevolution.com. And, Mike, you will go and share wherever people will have you. And I don't think people realize how relatively easy it is to have you come to their area.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if they do or not, but it is very easy. That's for sure. And it is always a treat for me to get out and to travel and to to touch people's lives, even if this most of the meetings that I do here in the U.S. is someone opens their home and invites a group of people in. For two or three evenings to come and sit and listen and to ask questions and to comment about what they are hearing. So, yeah, it is. It really is quite easy. And as far as expenses on doing something like that, the only thing, of course, I cannot afford anymore. I used to. And drove myself into debt by taking on the expense of my own airfare, my own travel expense, my own hotel room and food, and walk away with less than nothing, walk away in debt. I can't do that. In fact, I won't do that anymore to myself. I mean there are people who are plenty capable of carrying their part of this burden, if you will, of the gospel, and they're end of the load. I mean, we all have a part to play in this. And as far as, you know, and then of course we talk about giving money. There's believe me, still yet to this day, I do not know of anyone who has contributed financially to the ministry of the spreading of the gospel. As far as into Mike Williams' ministry with giving my own funds, then we still don't have anyone who has surpassed that, and not that it's my crown of glory. I just want people to know who have second thoughts about investing in the gospel. And when I hear people like Jerry make statements like what they have, it's like, you know, they really are clueless, and I don't want people to remain clueless that the efforts on my part has been, I had investments. I had investments in real estate and also in the stock market. And the times that I had to sell a property because the ministry was in debt. I had gone to places, Glenn, that didn't pay me. They didn't pay the ministry, and the ministry had to take on the debt of those expenses. And it happened over and over. And I at one time I had investments in the stock market. And there was times I had to sell as much as $10,000 at a time of stocks at a loss because to be able to pay the bills for the ministry. I had to do that, and I chose to do it. I could have let it all go under, but my heart was to support the ministry. So I just, you know, when it comes to anybody making comments like Jerry has made, I'm sure Jerry's a good guy. I don't try to put Jerry down at all. But no one is ever going to cause me to sway, or it won't be any more than a breeze in my face to make comments like he has made and what others might want to make. Because, Glenn, I know what I have done financially. Forget the part of the teaching. People know the teaching, and they hear that. But I know what I've contributed financially to the ministry and to the gospel. And
people, it's really silly to even talk about it because people have absolutely no clue unless you know. And they also have no clue about the freedom that we have in Christ. Because if we are saying to people that you are free to do or not do whatever you want to do, then it is just only consistent to also be able to walk in that kind of freedom ourselves. This is Glenn Klein online. Night number one of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. 1-800-436-3260. We do have that third line available. 1-800-436-3260. And we know that most of our folks do listen at their own convenience on the archive. So if you are one of those persons, please just go to the website, make the donation for $100 or more in one-time giving or for monthly donations. You will receive the thank you CD, Freed from Your Own Faith, just recorded on actually just this past Sunday in the closing session of the Gospel Revolution Convention. And email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com and let us know what you've done so we can include it in our goal. We have absolutely no hesitation going forward. We have complete freedom and clear conscience about just making this available to you. And we've been doing this for a while, and we've kind of found a little bit of a formula, if you will, that is allowing us to continue to produce quality programming and quality teachings, and to be able to organize a convention like we did, and to be able to meet the wonderful people that we did. But here's a good old-fashioned question that just came in from BK Michael. He says, Michael, what is your view on hell?
Wow. Do I have a series of convention CDs for you?
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it is loaded. I mean, it is chock full of the most brilliant minds on this subject that could possibly be. And I'm talking about our guest speakers who had just unbelievable insight into these things. But the fact is, the issue here, let me take you, and of course everybody has to come from their own perspective. And you guys know that my perspective is, quote, the scriptures. Number one, if you go back to the scriptures, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, if you look in the scriptures, the only term for hell that is there literally means either the grave or a pit. There is no implication in the scriptures. So when you start dealing with hell as a burning place of fire for eternal punishment or any form of punishment whatsoever from God based on scriptures, please let me reiterate this. Folks, it is so vital to understand. You can put so many bad babies to bed and just leave them there with just of doctrines, then just leave them there. You don't have to go back and try to figure out all of this stuff, but you must first accept the pretext of the scriptures. So when you
that's a very good place to interject that it's not, I don't think, up on the website yet, but it will be soon. Michael's classic series on the redefining of the Holy Scriptures. The Holy Scriptures redefined. And I don't believe it's up on the site yet, but we just remastered those and produced those on CDs. And Michael, the issue, as you say, of what the Scriptures are and what they are not is absolutely pivotal in understanding this whole thing. But when you recognize there is not one single reference in what Jesus and the disciples called the Scriptures to an eternal damnation. In the Jewish community, whether you are an Orthodox, conservative, or Reform, or Reconstructionist Jew, they never talk about hell because it's not in their book.
It's not in the scripture.
This was a concocted Greek pagan concept from Greek mythological teaching with Hades and all that that got mixed up into the church, just like the celebration of Easter we've talked about many times, just like the celebration of Christmas. And it's nothing more, Michael, than warmed over Greek mythology.
No, absolutely. And, and the thing of it is that when you keep it in the context then of what hell is defined to be by the law, the Psalms, and the prophets, I can't even say by the Old Testament, because the entire Old Testament has not been given the stamp of Jesus Christ approved scriptures, if you will.
But even if it did, even those books, even those writings that compile the rest of the Old Testament, they have no reference to an everlasting punishment and torture chamber that only Hitler and Stalin and Saddam Hussein could salivate over, Pol Pot.
No.
You combine all the despots in the history of humanity together, and they could not have come up with the concept of an eternal, forever punishment without end. But this is the kind of love that we're supposed to recommend to the people who are hurting and looking for answers about spirituality and eternity and as such.
Well, absolutely. And then when you talk about Jesus redeeming us from hell,
Michael,
is there a scriptural Jesus? I'll
have to listen right now to what. Am I online, Sean?
Sean, tell us what's going on.
Okay, so call Hasselback because he's not there, right?
Okay.
All right.
And
so Michael got disconnected. Apparently, we'll get him back online here momentarily. Is that even if the scriptures extend to all the Old Testament, and Jesus was very clear in his definition of what the scriptures were, which was the law, the Psalms, and the prophet, which obviously does not include much of the Old Testament, includes none of what we call the New Testament writings. In none of those writings can you find a reference to a place of eternal punishment. Well, this is Glenn Klein online. We'll wait to get Michael back online with us. And this gives me a good opportunity to remind you that this is the Fall Pledge Drive. Please participate. We've got lots of bills to pay, frankly, and we're asking you to follow your heart and to help us out with them at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening live and it's about 15 minutes after the hour on Wednesday night, you are welcome to join us at 1-800-436-3260. If you're listening on the archive, just go on the gospelrevolution.com webpage and make your best pledge at by clicking on donations, and a one-time gift or a monthly donation totaling up $100 will have you be receiving our thank you CD, Freed from Your Own Faith. And that is just been recorded at the Gospel Revolution Convention. Do we have Michael back, Sean? Seanage, are you there?
Michael's back.
Hello.
Hey, Mikey.
Yes, I'm here. And let me finish my thought on the about the scriptures as far as, you know, if the understanding, if you even have an understanding that Jesus did redeem us from hell, the hell he redeemed us from was the grave and raising us from the dead. Jesus brought the entire human race back from the dead. That hell, which is the term that is used in the Old Testament, which simply means grave, that hell Jesus redeemed everyone out of. He brought us all out of the grave. He brought us all out of death and raised us up together with him. He went into the grave. That's the reason that the concept in the evangelical world is that Jesus went into hell, a burning pit where Satan lives. The fact of it is Jesus did go into the scriptural hell. I hope that you get what I'm saying. Jesus went into the scriptural hell, the grave,
right,
and brought us out of, and brought the entire human race out of the scriptural hell, which is the grave. And that is as
right.
far as you can take it as far as teaching scripture. Now, I can show you a bunch of places that Harold Lovelace, bless his heart, can go into and debunk all of the New Testament verses, but let me tell you, it's all completely irrelevant because the scriptures never speak of the place that everybody's having to debunk about hell. The only
right.
hell spoken of in the scriptures is the grave. And Jesus did go into hell, and he said, "Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell." That's out of the scriptures. That term hell simply means the grave.
Right.
And when Jesus raised from the grave, if the grave is hell, then that's where we got raised from. Because Paul went into great detail about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 15.
Well, we know that our soul has not been left in the grave, that we have been risen with Christ, that we are seated with Christ at the right hand of the Father, whatever that means. And it's called good news, ladies and gentlemen. It's called the gospel. There is no bad news in the good news. Mike, this next email comes from Jelous Ken, J-E-L-O-U-S-E Ken from British Columbia. Do you recognize that name?
No.
All right, well, he says, "Hi, Mike and Glenn. I was just thinking of you guys doing the Gospel Revolution Convention." This was written last week. He says, "Really wish I could be there, but I knew I wouldn't be able to leave my business at this time. Would have loved to bring my family down there for the convention. Yes, I am jealous. I really love what you guys are doing and hope to be at the next one. I hope it went well, and I hope this kicks the true gospel into high gear. More people are getting the message. Can only be good for the world. By the way, congrats on your next president. I was wishing I could vote for him, but being Canadian, that can't happen." That was from Jalouse Ken of British Columbia, Canada. And he says, "P.S. Michael, let's have the next convention in Canada."
Yeah. Well, the Canadians are just gluttons for the gospel, that's for sure.
and there was some definite discussion of having a conference in Calgary sometime this spring. So stay logged on for that, all you beautiful humans north of the border. And we had such good representation, Michael, at the convention from Canada.
Oh, absolutely. There was a large percentage of our convention attendees that were from Canada. And, you know, and you know, here's the thing that I want to say also. I believe that every one of the convention attendees from Canada have already registered for next year. I also know that Lee Lau from Hong Kong has registered for next November. Now, folks, if you're wondering what happened there, well, let me tell you, people who traveled and paid a good chunk of change to get here have already signed up to be there next year, as far as Hong Kong, and have said, "We are going to be there." I can't remember, but I would almost guarantee you that Ken and Arlene from Hawaii are going to be there again, and most likely most of the people that I know that were there are already signed up for next year. So that should speak volumes to you as to what was experienced at this time that we had here in Houston.
No doubt, no doubt. And I just wanted to repeat that Michael's teaching on the scriptures is going to be available. And I think that, again, the clarity at the convention that the people received, Michael, of what was scripture and what was not. And also, frankly, to be able to receive our dear brother Carlton Pearson, who does not agree with what we're teaching, in a large part, the specifics of what we're teaching, but was received with such graciousness from the people.
Yeah.
And we did a in-studio live audience, Glenn Klein Online, as part of the convention that you want to get a hold of. But you mentioned at the convention, Michael, after Carlton had left, that could you imagine the things that Carlton Pearson was saying being said in the church, that there might have been a riot that broke out, literally.
Oh, absolutely. And And there were things that were said that folks that have listened to me would not agree with Carlton on, but they sat with smiles on their faces, and they all said they loved listening to Carlton. So their minds and their hearts are open. You know, I got taught something new about the term repentance, and that is that the true meaning, when you pull the word apart again, doesn't actually mean to change your mind. It means to open your mind. Now think about that just a minute. The only thing that Jesus, could it be that only thing that Jesus was saying that to understand this, all you have to do is open your mind?
Yes.
Just be open-minded. That blew me away when, and I think it was Mark that that took me through that little study and showed me where that the term that the first part of that of the word in the Greek for the term repent actually meant the word open your mind, not change your mind. The emphasis was on open, which would lead to a changed mind for sure. But that's all we're asking, folks, and that is just open your mind a little bit. That's what the folks did, and it's not dangerous. They opened their mind to what Carlton had to say, and Carlton came and went, and I can tell you that that the people that I know that were there would still disagree with Carlton about some basic things about the cross, and about the birth of Jesus, and that they would still disagree with him. But you know what? They found out that being open-minded to that, to what Carlton had to say, wasn't a dangerous thing to do whatsoever.
Right.
They actually
fact,
they got to enjoy it, and they got to learn
some
things that they didn't know.
That we had in Houston, Carlton said that he was going to rethink some things.
Yes, he did. He said in while we were sitting there and in the interview, the online time, if you will, part of the conference that we had, and my response to one of the questions, Carlton was affirming of the question, and then I responded and said, you know, with my response, what you got to hear, get the conference tapes to hear about it. And my response to that...
Conference CDs and convention CDs, by the
convention
way.
Convention CDs,
we're at conventions,
yes.
And CDs now.
So here,
yeah,
here,
you guys,
here we are.
You guys, if you want to get your hands on all the 20 CD package, and we're going to be getting information. But, Michael, in our closing minutes here, we just got a great email from Mike Farmer of GospelLogic.com, who's... wife Danette and he were at the conference, at the convention, so you got me saying it.
There you go.
From Montana, the farmers are. And he says, hi, Glenn and Mike. Mike Farmer here. It was so, so, so great to be with you both and all the rest in Houston. Cannot wait for the next convention. Listen, I just want to make a plug for Mike's new teaching from Hebrews regarding faith. Talk about a life-changing paradigm shift. Those heroes of the faith we used to try to emulate all died not receiving the promise that we were born with. Wow. You got to get your hands on this new teaching, you guys. How clear and exciting it was to be able to reclaim Hebrews chapter 11, especially it's God's belief and faith in me, in us, that will transform our lives. Not our meager scraps of faith that we sometimes may muster towards him. It was another great step forward, a big step forward in my opinion. Another breakthrough in this gospel understanding. Mike Farmer says, keep up the great work. I look forward to being able to do much, much more with you guys and everyone via Gospel Logic in the near future. Watch for updates from me soon. Love and thanks, Mike Farmer. That was the aforementioned sister site to GospelRevolution.com, GospelLogic.com. Mike Farmer, Michael, Danette and Mike were just sitting in that far right corner for most of the week with just nothing but ear-to-ear smiles on their faces.
There were times it was like, you know, have I taken a picture of people here? And is the smile that they have on their face the same smile they had from almost the get-go right through the end? And no, you're right. I mean, it was amazing to see the farmers and everyone there with just intent delight, not just delight, and not just with great intent, but with intent delight of just being there to do what the goal of the conference was to celebrate the journey.
Get people
in contact with each other so that they... Do you know the people who've heard the name Mike Farmer and didn't ever have a face to place with that? And now they do? The people that heard Greg Amberge and they had no clue what that looked like, and now they know what it looks like, you know?
And you know what I know? I know what Tim Pruitt looks like.
Yes, absolutely.
I've been working with Tim Pruitt, who is our webmaster. I've been working with that guy, Beautiful Human, for 12 years and had no idea what he looked like. And he loved that thing. But he sacrificed that little thing he had over me, because obviously he knew what I looked like, to come to the convention from South Carolina. And Tim Pruitt had a very powerful little mini sermon when he talked about if there is a hell, there could be no heaven.
Oh my gosh, what an insight.
Of the Gospel Revolution Convention CD series that we'll be offering in the very, very near future.
What an insight that was. It was so clear, so concise, precise, and I mean, you can't disagree with it. It was absolutely amazing. And, when you open your mind, the incredible things as far as the gospel of grace and peace that can switch things around for you, as he did for us on that short teaching, which is absolutely a prized part of this convention series that we have now.
Well, we're just giving you Beautiful Humans a heads up that we will be talking about the Gospel Revolution Convention 2008 for the next year, because there was so much, and it was just an absolutely incredible time to be alive. And not only, as Mike said, did none of our worst fears materialize, but it was way more than anything we could have hoped or imagined. And it was so wonderful to be with you beautiful humans, and we're already looking forward to next year's. Well, this is going to wrap up the night number one of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive. This starts the 21 days of asking help out to help pay the bills for the next quarter. And our goal of 17.5 has been whittled away tonight, with the help of Richard Mull, our Southern California correspondent, and also George Howe, our nationwide correspondent from boldgrace.com. Also thanks to Abraham Mackey and everybody who emailed, including Deanna Young and Jerry Epps. Special thanks to Sean O'Halloran, our engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire. Mikey, next week I will, Lord willing, and if the creek don't rise, be back in the official Glenn Klein online studios in Tampa Bay, where it's nice and warm, because in the undisclosed location, it is a very, very cold day in hell indeed.
Well, we will welcome you back with warm arms back to Florida. And but I'm sure you're warming the hearts of the people there in the frozen north.
We call ourselves the Frozen Chosen up here in the Northland. Thanks a lot, folks, for joining us. Until next time, this is Glenn Klein Online saying, Shalom, everybody!